www.awr.org.nz/sending.
Good afternoon, gardeners. You're listening to Garden Planet with your host, Selena, and we have a special guest who's come back to tell us all about South American plants today, and her name's Ellen Schindler. Welcome, Ellen.
Thank you very much for having me. Morena.
Morena. Now, Ellen, last time you were on the show, we talked about bananas and tree crops, and it was so fascinating because you are a bit of a community gardener greenie, and you've been all around the world, and we learned all about how to grow subtropicals when we went and visited the Point Chevalier Community Garden. So I bet you have a lot to share about all these wonderful plants that are now growing so lush in Auckland.
Yes, indeed. And there's a lot of food that has originated in South America, Central America, and I thought it'll be great to talk about those because they're not really in people's sort of awareness what this lower continent of the Americas has haven't actually given the world in regards to food.
So let's find out some more about these really cool plants. So I just want to touch on why it hasn't been much, there's not much awareness. Is it because New Zealand has, the tradition has been that it's a lot of British people have come and they mostly got their plants from Europe and China when they collected all their plants and they didn't quite get to South America, do you reckon?
Well, you, there's probably, the judgment is out whether actually early Pacific people have been in the South Americas way longer before any Europeans, but I'm not going to do a history lesson. Some of the fruits and food I will mention in the next minutes, you might be so familiar with that you would never consider that they're not European.
Oh, okay.
The Europeans have basically just claimed them, brought them over after Columbus discovered the New World, and have sort of made them so much their own that you'd probably think tomatoes come from Italy, but actually they're originating in South America.
So they kind of appropriated them, do you reckon?
Yeah, just owned them.
Just owned them, and I guess it's like they had like a patent on them. But no, they're originally from South America, and I know you said not history, but I almost forgot the kumara.
Yes.
One of our very important crops here in New Zealand. Yes, that has an interesting history because where did that come from?
It apparently, and I looked it up before I came here to not just talk guts out of my guts. Well, it is claimed to be originating from Central and South America. So do yams, or what we call the little New Zealand yams, and many other of these tubers. One of the most important tuber, the potato. All the nightshade family, all these related. I might give you a little list.
Yeah, give us a list and we'll see and how many we know.
I'll start with the most sort of common and famous ones. Tomatoes, chilies and capsicums, so all the peppers. Potatoes, beans, Cape gooseberry, also part of the nightshade family. Tomatillo, which makes the lovely green salsa. Sweet potato, kumara, of course. Pepino, also a really nice nightshade-related fruit. Even the dragon fruit, the ones that pitaya that you see in the shops, these red, big sort of fruit with poppy seed-like seeds inside. But also cacao, corn and maize, cassava, peanuts, pineapple, sunflowers, yacon, Jerusalem artichokes, vanilla. That's just a few of the sort of almost everyday things that we have sort of incorporated in our daily food. We'll come to the trees later. Some of them are very well known. Some of them are a bit less known. But Well, I'm working on that. And, of course, grains.
Yes. Sweet corn, is that one?
Well, any corn or maize all originated in South and Central America.
Wow, it's like the food basket of the world.
Totally. So a little bit in me thinks, gosh, if we had trademark in, you know, 500 years ago, those countries would be wealthy, would be very well off.
I know. Just one question. Banana?
They're more from the Asian region.
Oh, they've been so associated with South America.
Yes.
Ecuador. And
yes, I had assumed that too, but so that's why I looked it up, because we had a banana session before.
Yeah.
So apparently it's more from the Asian region.
Okay.
But I mean, coffee is very associated with... that's more in the African region, is my understanding. Eritrea, Ethiopia.
Okay, I had a list too of the edible ones, so I just want to run this by you to see if you missed any. So, feijoas.
Yep. Absolutely. Yep. So, that's part of the tree fruits that we know very well here.
Yeah. I mean, they just grow so well in Auckland. But that is also part of guava family, right?
Exactly.
Okay. Avocado.
Yes, Mexico.
Passion fruit.
Yes.
Pawpaw.
Yes. And what's the other one called? Papaya.
Papaya. I have a name on here that I've never heard of, but it sounded really interesting. I don't know if you have heard of it. Carambola.
Carambola, yeah, that's the star fruit.
Ah.
You see them sometimes, you know, they were very highly sought after for decoration, because if you slice it, you've got this perfect little five-corner star fruit. And they're not really yummy when you buy them here because they're picked unripe. But if you ever go to Rarotonga, Cook Islands, they have lots of star fruit trees, carambola trees there. Cool. And it's the most delicious food if you pick it from the tree.
Sounds lovely, the star fruit. And there's one more, cherimoya.
Absolutely.
Can you describe what the cherimoya looks like? Because too familiar.
Yeah, so some people call it a custard apple or pudding apple or ice cream apple fruit. It's not an apple at all. And it's green. They can often grow up to 400-500 grams, the big fruit. They've got many, many little, well, not too little. They've got many, many black seeds the size of a pine seed, pine nut seed in them, white flesh, beautiful, beautiful texture. The skin looks very pretty.
Yeah.
And it just tastes so sweet and so custardy.
Custardy.
And the tree is very briefly deciduous just around at the moment. The leaves are coming back, so it drops its leaves, say, mid-October, and the new leaves are end of October, and the new leaves coming back now.
Awesome. I've just got one more edible one from my list, taro.
I haven't seen that, but that would sort of be just consistent with, if I look at what, you know, people in the islands, the Pacific people grow.
So the speculation is they originated, or maybe there was some exchange between the Polynesians and the South Americans.
Exactly.
And somehow it got all the way, well, to New Zealand.
Another fruit we're very well familiar with in New Zealand is the tamarillo. It's part of the nightshade family again. And we're growing lots of these here. Some less known, but nevertheless, you know, very desirable fruit, just totally not known, is the casimiroa, the white sapote or green sapote. It's sort of custard apple-ish. And the only place I know you can buy them is when the trees of the mahi whenua have good fruit, and the group sells it as a fundraiser at the Greyland Market.
Oh,
so
I see.
Watch out for them there.
Yeah. So the century mahi whenua is actually down the road from the Planet FM studios if you want to go and visit. Yes, and they have grown a beautiful food forest with all these exotic food trees that you might not normally grow, seeing around in gardens. So have a look.
Yeah, but only visit with your eyes, not with your hands. So I've got a few more that have that are very rare, but nevertheless, people, tree nerds like myself these days, but all the older fellows that where I get those sort of trees or cuttings from, the jabuticaba. It's a beautiful fruit. It's basically a purple. Looks almost like a cherry, just rounder, and it grows right out of the trunk. Ooh. So it doesn't grow like other fruits on, you know, the little branchlets. It grows on the main trunk, and if the harvest is good, you've got these hordes of purple berries just growing up a trunk. And if they when they flower, before the berries develop, you've got this snow white flowers just like snowfall all around the, like snowflakes all around the trunk of the tree. It's very beautiful. Another one that's really well worth mentioning is the lukuma tree. There's probably only a few trees in Auckland.
Yeah.
And they were sort of subject to a plant and food research many years ago. And just before they were sort of ready to make good selections for New Zealand, things changed and they just bulldozed the orchard down south, as they did with many of these trial orchards. But some clever people have rescued a few bits and bobs, and that's the ones that remain sort of in Auckland.
Ah, so the rare trees of South America.
Yes.
Still hidden around in little gardens.
Yes, or bigger gardens.
Big gardens. Interesting. I guess would the Food and Crop Institute be trialling a few of these that we don't really grow much of here to see if they do well here? Do they do that?
Well, funding had shifted. I can't really comment, but I know that the big orchards that they used to have and trial new foods doesn't exist in this sort of way anymore. They've got, of course, food trial, and I've been in Nelson, I've been to one of the research station, but they usually do that now together with industry who pours money into it, and they're researching basically what industry wants them to research to.
Right.
But not things that, not necessarily things like new things that could be beneficial. So there's one organization, it's a private one, the New Zealand Tree Croppers, and there's a lot of tree nerds. And at the moment, they're actually trialing something that's called the honeyberry, which comes from more the Japan and Russian area.
Yeah.
Still, they were the ones who made macadamia nuts a feature, which comes from Queensland.
Yes, Australian. That sounds delicious, honeyberry.
Apparently, I have never tried one. There's four more that I think are really important to mention. That's the grains that everybody runs after pays lots of money these days.
What are they?
They're the amaranth, the chia seeds, sorghum is quite a big one these days, and quinoa.
Quinoa, yes, that's a new health food that everyone's getting into.
Absolutely.
Gosh. I had one on my list that I want to question. Canna.
The lilies?
Yeah, the canna lilies.
I can't comment on that. We have an edible variety at the Dignan Street Community Garden called Canna edulis.
Yes. It's
got the common name Queensland arrowroot. I don't know whether that points to the origin or where that name comes from, but just that common name indicates it may come from somewhere else.
We'll have to do some research on that.
I think so.
So all these edible plants, and it's just a fruit bowl of wonderful, juicy fruits.
Yes, Brazil nuts is something that I've just written down as like odds and others, and soursop, which people also might know from the islands.
Soursop.
Guabana.
Yeah. I've not really heard that.
It's yummy fruit. It sort of goes in the direction of the cherimoya, just okay. Bigger.
Hmm. I think to pick my favourite, or you can pick your favourite just this year, the pineapple. Because we don't often think, oh, we think pineapple comes from, like, Hawaii, but it's actually South America.
It is.
And it's a bromeliad, so it grows quite an interesting way, doesn't it?
It does, and you can grow them here. Often the little red pineapples are for sale. I've just been given four sort of juvenile pups. That's how you call the offshoot of the pineapple. They're very spiky bromeliads, so you have to plant them in quite full sun and away from where you sort of walk daily, because they can damage your skin.
Oh, wear protection. So these, speaking of growing them, all these South America plants, are they especially suited in this Auckland region, do you reckon, to grow?
I suppose quite a few of them. We almost call them our own, like the Fijoa. I heard comments at the tree croppers that they almost grow better than over there in their original country. I haven't been to any of the South American countries apart from Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, tamarillo grow quite well in frost-free areas. The Fijoa, the avocado grow really well here. In fact, I have to prune mine like four times a year to keep it at a certain backyard garden size.
I had one tamarillo that Karen gave me. A friend of hers had grown a lot of seedlings. So I've put that in the community garden. That's my first one that I'm trying to grow. So it's only little so far, but apparently it can get up to like 5 feet or something.
Yeah, 5 feet, 1.5 meters. Yeah, 2 meters.
Yeah.
It's incredibly susceptible to wind damage.
Yeah.
It's quite soft wood and it breaks easily, so you want to protect it very well from wind. And the same is basically for all the trees, South American trees, they don't want to be blown around. So if you plant an avocado, in clay, it's not a good idea to dig a hole into the ground because they will just die, get root rot. So you gotta plant them onto mounds. Mm-hmm. There's lots of good advice on the internet. So it's incredibly important to not put them into clay ground.
Yeah, otherwise they'll drown when it rains and they'll just die.
Yep.
So gardeners, yes, mounting is good. I just want to touch on some not edible plants just to round out.
Oops, I didn't prepare for those.
No, but just to mention
so
a few.
So I will learn something
okay,
now.
Okay, so there's only a few because we're kind of thinking of our guts, as we said. So anthurium, which you will often see around this time of year because it's got really lovely glossy leaves and really red flower bracts thingies. It's an indoor plant and it's very tough and looks very tropical looking. So that's anthurium. Begonia, very popular plant. And clivia, which is a lovely flower that you can grow under the shade of your trees. And nasturtium, a good companion plant for your veggies and your crops.
And a food plant. I mean,
and food. You can eat it.
The flowers,
you
the leaves.
You can eat the
You can make little capers from the young seeds.
We have morning glory, which can become a bit of a weed, but it's got beautiful flowers. And it's also related to the kumara.
Yes.
So keep an eye out for that morning glory. And also petunia, very popular bedding plant. So all these are flowery ones because I love flowers and they're all from South America. So, yeah, that's just for your information.
So my absolute favourite, I mean, I would not want to go without tomatoes. But set aside the tomatoes, from the sort of more annual crops, my absolute favourite would be chilies.
Mm.
At the moment, I'm growing the so-called tree chilies, rocoto chilies. They come from Peru.
Yeah.
Very easy to identify once you've cut them open. They've got black seeds.
Okay.
There's a yellow and red variety around. Mine is about 3 years old now. It's got almost a trunk of a maybe 3-4 centimeters diameter.
Mm-hmm.
Double trunk, and it grows about 3 meters high, 3 meters to the one side, 3 meters to the other side.
And it's huge.
It's huge at the moment. I've got probably in excess of 1,000 flowers, or maybe even more on it, starting to convert into little chili peppers. And last year, when the plant was smaller, I harvested about 30 kilos off the ground and, of course, off
kilos.
The plant.
30 kilos? Wow.
Yes.
Just from one plant.
Yes, and the secret to it, it's very hot.
Yes.
But the secret to it, if you cut it and completely with gloves, remove the seed, but also the walls that the seed attach to the actual fruit,
okay.
It's actually become edible, almost like just a capsicum with a bit of zing.
Oh,
but
nice.
You gotta be diligent.
Yeah. If you get one seed, will you be like eyes watering and nose running?
Yes. But if you're diligent, it makes, because they fruit throughout the winter, you've basically got small little capsicums. They look like little capsicums.
Mm-hmm.
Just throughout the winter.
Excellent. Ellen, what would you say would be, aside from feijoas, what would be the easiest for a home gardener to grow, do you reckon?
Tree-wise?
Well, let's start with trees.
Cherimoya, they grow really well from seed. If you put the seed sort of straight away from eating into the ground, because we've got enough cherimoya trees and seedlings, I just chuck them in the worm farm, and a few days, weeks later, I open the worm farm and all these cherimoya seedlings just come and want to live, and I feel a little bit bad of not giving them the opportunity. So maybe I should look at chucking the seeds into some council parks. Did
Ooh.
I say that?
No, I didn't hear anything.
Well, I would encourage everybody. I'll take responsibility for that statement.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, cherimoya. I just need to keep an eye out for that. And you said the Greylin Market is where you might find...
Casimira. It's a different... It sounds as if it should be the same plant family, but it's not. So the Casimira, a smaller fruit generally, have a very smooth, very, very thin skin. So here's one hint why they're probably not readily available in shops, because they would be incredibly vulnerable to damage and people prodding on them to see if they're ripe and damage is done.
Oh, okay.
So it's not a shelf-stable fruit,
right.
Which makes it quite valuable when you get the opportunity to buy them from, you know, Greylin market at times.
But I think the best thing to do is to grow your own.
Yes, these trees they are rapid growers. They need a lot of space.
Yeah.
So...
Be warned.
Yeah, be warned. It would probably be not my first choice of trees if I could only put one of those in there. But probably nourishing-wise would be the avocado tree. And the cherimoya.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, feijoa you can keep small and like a hedge even, if you like. Yeah. Same with guava, especially the little cherry guavas, the red and the yellow one. You could actually grow them, prune them hedge style.
Oh, okay. Yeah, good for around the boundary of your property. So I've got feijoas in my garden. I've been there for years and years, and yeah, they take to pruning well, so they just grow back. And the other one I have is passion fruit, which I have tried without much success about 3 or 4 times. But I have 2 in the ground at the moment. Again, Karen gave me some that had self-seeded. So here's hoping this time it works.
Yeah, I suppose I would always suggest to first try and allow if something self-seeds. If it's not really, really, really in your way, try to leave it where it grows, because obviously there's a reason why it's growing. And just try and accommodate it at the, in the space where it grows, because those often become the strongest plants. But I understand that you can't always do that.
They can't, they like where they've fallen, and if they're doing well, why shift them? But,
So maybe just for this year, when you go buy some purple passion fruit, just spit a few seeds out in a location where you'd like them to grow.
And good idea.
Same for the cherimoya. Just get hold of one. Well, they've come to an end now. But next year, get hold of some. Probably also could buy some at the Mahi Whenua.
Yes.
They've also got a cherimoya tree. And then if you have one fruit, you've got probably about 20 seeds.
Oh, good one.
15, 20, depends on the size of the fruit.
What day is the Greyland Market? Do they have it every...?
It's Sundays apart from, I think, the 4th Sunday. They have a boot sale instead.
Okay.
There's something. But you can look it up. It's a very successful farmer's market.
I'll have to check it out. Yeah.
Can I just say one thing to pruning feijoa as a hedge?
Yes.
Feijoas are pollinated by birds, not by bees.
Yeah.
So the trees should be pruned in a way, if you want fruit on the inside and not just on the outside of your tree, hedge or bush, you need to prune it a bit lightly so that the birds can actually fly through it and pollinate.
So they can land on the branches and then have their food.
And it's very yummy to, if the fruits are in full flower, they've got these little fleshy petals around it.
Yes.
Just grab one from a fruit, not more, because otherwise you might damage the future fruit. Grab one of these petals and try them. They have a slightly peppery, sweet taste. Oh, very yummy.
I didn't know you could eat the petals. Mm.
Just one, not the red one, not the red Putukawa spiky parts,
no,
but the 5 petals around it on the base.
They're white, aren't they? They're
just
pale.
White, pale, purplish, pinkish.
Because the red part is like their stamens, and you don't want to munch on those.
No. No, that would be like eating straw.
All right, so these are your South American plants, and as we're kind of subtropical, they will grow pretty fast, and they'll grow wherever oranges can grow well. That's what I read. So get growing your South American plants. Oh, thanks Ellen for sharing all that with us. It's wonderful to have you on the show. You'll have to come back another time.
Thank you very much for having me, and for all these people who would love to grow some of the more unusual, check in at your local tree crops meetings, because there is a very good likelihood that you find some of the more unusual plants.
Yes, and you can boast to your friends that you have the rare species.
Yes, happy gardening.
Happy gardening, everyone. Bye for now.
Bye.
Well, thanks for listening, everyone. That's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.